الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, in our last two bayans we had been looking at a journey that each and every one of us will one day have to undertake. And that is the journey of death. And under this particular title, we had been looking at what we are supposed to do at the time of death. What the person himself involved, what he should be doing, and even the first people who are around a person who is departing from this world, what they should be doing in terms of the Sharia. And last week we had made mention with regard to the crucial time, which is just prior to a person's death, the reason why it is most crucial, and what are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that particular stage. Now we take this particular subject a little further and continue on the same subject. After a person passes away, then the ulama have written that his eyes should be closed. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrate that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, when a person passes away and death overtakes him, then visions also depart, therefore close the eyes. Then straighten the hands at the side. Tie the legs and tie the face with a piece of cloth. And while we are doing this, the dua that has been made mention that we should read at that particular time is, Bismillahi wa ala millati rasulillah. Allahumma yassir alayhi amrah. Wasahhil alayhi ma ba'da. Wa as'idhu bi liqa'ik. وَجْعَلْ مَا خَرَجَ إِلَيْهِ خَيْرًا مِمَّا خَرَجَ عَنْهُ. Now this, what is made mention in this, let me give you the translation for us to understand what we are supposed to say at that time. If we can't read the entire dua, at least read the translation. O Allah, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, and upon the millat and the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, even the affairs of the deceased person. Make the affairs that come year after even more easier for him. وَأَسْعِدْهُ بِلِقَائِكَ. Give him the good fortune of meeting you, O Allah. And make that abode which he is destined towards better than what he has left. Where he is going, make it even better than the abode, the dunya that he is leaving. This is the dua that we read at that particular time. And of course, after that particular stage, then we should also look at the administrative aspects with regard to the death certificate, etc. I'm not going to make mention of that. That is something that we must become aware from the people who know this particular aspects. But of course, alhamdulillah, we in our community, we have the good fortune that we have brothers who are willing to assist at that particular time. However, let me just add here that we should not take those people's help and assistance for granted. And secondly, we should not actually give over everything over to them in a sense that they should only be there to assist us. It is not that it is a burden upon us that now we must give it over to someone else. Rather, we should take their assistance as someone who is helping us rather than a burden that we are supposed or looking to offload upon someone else. And the reason I'm making mention of this, there is a colleague of mine who had actually told me one incident that a mayor took place in a house. And the people who came to assist with the administrative aspects, the people of the house told them that take this janazah and do all the necessary things with regard to ghusl and bring it back at 7 o'clock in the evening when we finish with our work. Now, that should not be the way that we give it over the way other people of other religions give it over to funeral undertakers. Yes, we should take the assistance, but not as, you know, just to assist us rather than actually taking it as a burden that we are putting off upon someone else's shoulders. After this, we should also hasten towards the burial. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, there are three things that people should make hasten. And one of those is that after a person passes away, hasten in the burial. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to see a Sahabi who was very sick by the name of Talha bin Barra radiallahu ta'ala an. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam observed that he is about to leave this world. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told his family that if anything happens to him, then bathe him and shroud him and bury him quickly, because it is not appropriate after a person has passed away for him to remain in the midst of his family for a long time. So we should hasten in the burial. Also with regard to this, after the person has passed away, there should be no Quran recited until the ghusl has been given. Quran, etc. should only be recited near the deceased person after the ghusl has been given. Therefore, we should hasten towards giving the ghusl. And you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us a precise method of sending off the deceased person with nobility and dignity. And this is the most honorable and dignified manner that has been shown to us by our Sharia. I'm not going to be able to give the entire detailed way of how ghusl is given, or how the kafan, or how the person is enshrouded. But other than to say that it is something that you and I must be aware of. Something that you and I must gain the knowledge of that. How unfortunate it is that sometimes we live with someone for the entire duration of his life. We take advantage from our parents, for example. And at the time of the mayyit, when the person passes away, we find it difficult. Or because of our ignorance, we are not able to actually bathe them with our own two hands. We find it difficult to do so. We give it over to someone else. I mean, what more better than to be able to give ghusl and to be able to bathe your parents with your own hands. Or to bathe people who are close with you with your own two hands. And people are unaware with regard to it. They do not know the manner. They do not know the method. Or even worse sometimes is, they stand at a distance not wishing to muddy their hands. Or not wishing to dirty their hands. I mean, this is something that is going to happen to each and every one of us. How can we be afraid of that particular situation? We must know with regard to the manner and method of how we are supposed to do this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in one hadith, narrated in Sahih Muslim by Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when a person passes away, give him a good shroud. Give him a good kafan. And another hadith which appears in Abu Dawood, on the authority of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, do not give a very costly shroud. Do not use a very expensive cloth, because it is going to perish one day. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, wear white clothes because it is good for you, and shroud the people who have passed away in the color of white. These are some of the guidelines, and the exact precise manner and method what has been done has been shown to us by our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now also another important aspect which comes at that particular time is that when a person's near and dear one passes away, it is but natural to feel grief at the death of a near one and to show spontaneous manifestation of that particular grief. Now this is a natural thing, and because it is a natural thing, there are no restrictions imposed upon that in our Sharia with regard to a spontaneous manifestation of grief. Yes, breath, you know, beating, the way it was done in the days of ignorance, or ceremonious mourning just for the sake of, you know, fulfilling a routine, or crying too loudly, these are things which have been prohibited in the Sharia. As it comes in the hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith appears in Sahih Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who says, when Allah ta'ala takes away a near and dear one of a person, and he adopts patience, and he accepts the will and the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reward of such a person is nothing but Jannah. The reward of such a person is nothing but Jannah. And of course, Islam realizes, and Islam is a practical religion, it realizes that there would be some grief when a person's near and dear ones passes away. And therefore, I will relate two incidents in this regard. You see, after the Battle of Badr, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back to Medina, just as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were coming into Medina Munawwara, the Muslims who were stationed in Medina Munawwara were returning after burying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And after a while, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the qabr. And after going to the qabr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back home. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the younger sister of Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, was weeping. And the other people who were in the house were also weeping. And they were crying. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told them to stop, and He felt it was against tawakkul. It was against submission to the divine will. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, of Umar, leave them, because what comes from the heart and what comes from the ears is from Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But what comes with the hand and what comes from the tongue, that is from shaitan. So remember what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what comes from the heart and what comes from the eyes is from Almighty Allah. But what comes with the hand and what comes from the tongue, that is not from Almighty Allah, that is from shaitan. Meaning if there is a spontaneous outburst of tears when someone passes away, it is from Almighty Allah. Or if there is a sadness in the heart, it is from Almighty Allah. But if you start beating yourself up with the hand or saying things which are inappropriate with your tongue, that comes from shaitan. And the care that we should take is at the initial stages when the news reaches us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once went to a woman who had just lost her son. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to console her. But she said certain things which were inappropriate. Something to the effect that you do not lose your son, I lost my son. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked away from there realizing that she is in grief. And afterwards someone told her, do you realize that who you were speaking to? She came back to apologize to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, As-sabru inda sadmatil ula. Sabr is at the very initial stage when the news reaches you. So that you must not say things inappropriate at the initial stage. Afterwards you, whether you like it or not, you have to make sabr, because it's something that you cannot change. So sabr is at the initial stages. And then another very amazing incident is that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's son, Hazrat Ibrahim, passed away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to visit him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized that he is very sick and he is about to leave this world. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started crying. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala was also there. And he said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, are you also shedding tears? He felt it was against tawakkul. He felt it was against accepting the command and the will of, and to submit to that particular command of Almighty Allah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Abdul Rahman, there is nothing wrong with this. This is rahmat and mercy that Allah has kept in the heart of each and every person. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed his small son and said, Ya Ibrahim, inna li firaqika la mahzunun. We are very sad by your departure. Our eyes are shedding tears. Our hearts are grieved and sad. But with our tongue, we will not say anything inappropriate. But we will only say that which we have been commanded to say at such a time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah do we belong, and to Allah ta'ala is our return. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha says, when my husband Abu Salma passed away, I was devastated. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to me and said, Umm Salma, read this dua. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah do we belong, and to Allah is our return. And add with this particular ayat, add this. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati waj'alli khayran minha. Oh Allah, recompense me in this difficulty of mine. Give me reward for this affliction that has come upon me. And give me something better than what you have taken away from me. Give me something better than what you have taken away from me. Umm Salma said, I used to make this dua, but there used to be a doubt in my heart that who can be better than Abu Salma, my husband? Who can be better? I used to make the dua, but the doubt was in my heart until after my iddat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself proposed to me and I came in the nikah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is a dua that we are supposed to read at such a time, and this is something that is of great importance. Then also it is a sunnah of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when someone has passed away, to condole and sympathize with such a person. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'anhu says, in a hadith which appears in Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, when you condole a person or you sympathize with a person who has lost someone near and dear, Allah gives you the same reward as that person who is in distress. If you sympathize with him, Allah gives you the same reward as that person who is in distress. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, who went to Yemen, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him to Yemen. And when Nabi was sent to Yemen, his son passed away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him a letter of condolence, worthy of reading. Of course, the letter was in Arabic, but I will give the English translation of that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, and he wrote, first of all, I relate to you the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save whom there is no other deity other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After it, I praise Allah that may He recompense you most bounteously on the loss, and endure your heart with patience, and grant you and me the good fortune to be thankful to Allah for His favors. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam further wrote to him, our lives and our possessions and our wives and our children are the gifts of Allah and the trust that He has placed in our care. Your son likewise was also amanat from Almighty Allah given to you. As long as he wished, he gave you the opportunity to profit from him with joy and to make yourself happy with the company of your small child. And when he will, he took back the charge and amanat from you. He is going to recompense you with the reward. And there are glad tidings of the special favor of Allah and guidance from him if you show patience in the confident expectation of reward from Almighty Allah and with the willing surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. So, O Muaz, be patient and let not be wailing and loud lamentation ruin the reward that will come your way. And then you would regret with regard to that loud lamentation that you have made. And believe it that no dead person returns to the earth by mourning and lamentation, nor does it lessen the grief. And the command that comes from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall be fulfilled. And in truth, it has already been fulfilled. This is a letter Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'anhu when Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'anhu lost his son. So it is a sunnah to sympathize and condole a person who has lost a near and dear one. And usually what happens in our particular situation is after the ghusl and the kafan has taken place, we bring back the mayyat back to the house. Now when we bring back the mayyat back to the house, the manner and method of laying down the deceased is preferable to do it in such a manner that his right side is facing towards the Qibla. And normally then afterwards, people, you know, they gather around the mayyat and they read Quran or they read du'as. And you see, at that particular stage, it is also permissible to see the face of the deceased and even to kiss the face of the deceased. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala kissed Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his forehead after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed Uthman bin Mas'un radiallahu ta'ala on his forehead after he had passed away. However, it can only be done by people who are mahram, who it is permissible for them to see the face. In fact, I would even go a step further and say that this is something that you and I need to introduce at the time of our mayyat. That in that room, only the mahram, you see, a mayyat who is there, who is a male, and he is placed in a particular room, then only the female who are mahram to that particular male should be in that particular room. These are the commands of the Sharia which you try to adhere to. And in that you will find blessings. It will make it easier for the deceased and we will be also rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we do things in accordance with the command and the will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, and one thing that is of, you know, great distress when you see it happening in the janazah is after that particular time when the time comes to pick up the janazah and the male come into the house to pick up the janazah, many a time there is intermingling of sexes. At such a time, to do an act of guna and sin is so unfortunate. Preferably, what should be done is that the female should vacate the room and then the male should come up and pick up the janazah. So that there is no intermingling that takes place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of understanding. Inshallah, in our next bayan, we will continue from where we have left off and make mention with regard to other commands of Almighty Allah, which we are supposed to do at that particular time. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.